Tatiana here, aka your tap out queen, to my P Square amazing, wonderful listeners, those who are passionate about the pussy and passionate about the penis. Thank you for tuning in to my podcast, Auralicious, A Tale of Sex. And the episode that I actually have for you was pre-recorded. I had the pleasure of speaking to the one and only Gigi Engel. If you don't know who Gigi Engel is, she is a badass. She is a feminist writer, certified sex coach, and sex educator. She is with the Alexander Institute and Pleasure Professional with O School. She teaches a variety of classes centered around pleasure, sexual health, and confidence. She is a badass. I actually came across an article she had wrote in Glamour Magazine. She writes for Elle Magazine, Teen Vogue. She's world-renowned, and she is the most amazing kindred spirit you probably ever come across or spoken to someone. She's just authentic and real, and I love the conversation about it. Speaking with her about shame-free sex in today's culture, and is well overdue. So that's the name of the title podcast. It was pre-recorded, and it is a little echoish, you know, because I was having technicalities. I'm trying to get my Zoom recorder fixed. So I really hope you enjoy it, only in the very beginning, but it's really, really, really great. Also, I subscribe to Google Alerts. The topic is, of course, oral sex. I came across this badass article on Yahoo News, and it's hashtag HealthBites, 5 Common Myths About Oral Sex Busted. And it was by writer Sagar Malik. And I'll give you more about that, so stay tuned. Hello, Tatiana here. So welcome back, and thank you for tuning into my podcast, Auralicious, A Tale of Sex, which is a podcast that is focused around anything and everything about sex, about why oral sex is still taboo in the 21st century. I find this to be totally, utterly amazing and fucking shocking. Because we know in the 21st century, especially now with the culture that we are in right now, knowing how to suck dick is a requirement. However, since it is, and they'll never admit this, but at least be good at it. However, is never one-sided. In my purview of sex. Yeah. Because when we're butt naked, everyone should be having orgasms. So if one party is not, do we need to take heed to find out why? Why is the big question. Because there are no inhibitions. You're butt naked. But are we tapping into the beauty of the body? Are we tapping into why our 5 senses play a vital role in the art of lovemaking, sexing, fucking, whatever you want to call it? They're there for a reason. They are there for a reason. And guess what, people? These are free tools, natural tools. Yeah, that Marilyn Monroe actually talked about, and she said, we are all sexual creatures. Thank God. But it's a pity that so many people despise this natural gift. Wow, she was on to something. And I do have to tell you that my guest, Gigi Engel, and Marilyn Monroe do have something in common because they believe that we all possess that core sexual desire that we try to ignore. And I have a pre-recorded interview I had with Gigi Engel that you are going to love. She is one badass. Love her. She's well respected, you know, in the sex positive community. I think globally because she's like really, really amazing. She's a featured writer in top magazines like Glamour,
Elle, Teen Vogue, just to name a few. And I truly think you're going to enjoy my amazing conversation with her. And we actually did last year, the 2018 Sex Expo. We didn't even know each other was there, but she was actually featured in the Sex Health magazine that was published for this event, September 2018, and her feature story is called Sex Ed Badass. At an early age, Gigi Engle knew she had to fight for shame-free sex-positive education. So I'm dedicating this episode that was pre-recorded with her called Shame-Free Sex is Well Overdue.
So weekly, I get these amazing Google alerts. And the topic, of course, that I chose was called oral sex. And I try to be very conscious of the ones that I do pick to discuss on the podcast that I'm actually focusing on based on the episode. So because I have amazing Gigi Engle as my guest, and the title of the podcast is called Shame-Free Sex, Well Overdue, I came across this awesome Google alert oral sex article that I found in Yahoo News. And the author, the name is Sagar Malik, S-A-G-A-R-M-A-L-I-K. It's titled Health Bites, 5 Common Myths About Oral Sex Busted, and has an exclamation point. And I really enjoyed reading this article because it just talked about a lot of things that need to be discussed, especially the 21st century sex positive culture that exists, and that sucking dick is now a requirement. Men, because they're so honest, would never tell you that, but it's a requirement. But newsflash, women want to have orgasms too. We love having our little penis sucked, stroked, made love to, licked, and just tantalized so we can come in your mouth. I'm just saying. So getting back to this great article, and I'm quoting the article, okay? It says, sexual stimulation on a partner using the mouth, tongue, lips is called, wait for it, oral sex. So that's the definition we have here. Sexual stimulation on a partner using the mouth, tongue, and lips is called oral sex. I knew that. Most people may not. Oral sex is a healthy part of natural sexual activity. Again, oral sex is a healthy part of natural sexual activity. However, this form of sexual interaction isn't well understood, more so among Indians. And this is an article that I'm quoting, okay? There is much confusion around health and safety factors concerning oral sex. Here are 5 most common myths about oral sex. Myth number 1, virginity. You will lose your virginity. Many people tend to believe that the indulging in any form of sexual activity like oral sex, quote, unquote, parentheses, close parentheses, will make those lose their virginity. However, oral sex is a part of the foreplay and doesn't include neutral contact of partner's sexual organs. Thus, the answer is, wait for it, no. By having oral sex, you will not lose your virginity. Myth number 2, pregnancy. You might get pregnant having oral sex. For pregnancy, it is essential for the sperm and the semen to get in contact with the female egg. There is no other way to get pregnant, prego, knocked up, however you want to call it, by having oral sex. However, during oral sex, the semen will get in contact with the body or the inside of the mouth, but will not reach the egg anyhow. Thus, pregnancy from oral sex is definitely ruled out. Myth number 3, safety. You do not need a condom, but remember, we want to practice safe sex, okay? So, since oral sex doesn't involve direct contact between sexual organs of the performing partners, you might get duped into believing that it is completely safe. However, this is far from the reality. Since oral sex involves transmissions of bodily fluids, there is a real risk of passing
STIs from the infected partner to the other. So again, you want to practice safe sex. And myth number four, hygiene. Is it unhygienic? Oral sex, like any other form of sexual activity, might or might not be unhygienic. It actually depends on the hygiene measures taken by the partners. To ensure hygienic oral sex, take a trip to the washroom before as well as after sex. We want to practice safe sex. Use condom or dental dam while performing oral sex. Also, use fresh and clean undergarments and beddings. Fact number five, myth number five is fact. Oral sex cannot lead to orgasms or to an orgasm. Oral sex is a healthy and natural part of foreplay. I'm going to read that again. Oral sex is a healthy and natural part of foreplay. And foreplay, as we know, is performed for sexual stimulation and to reach closer to the climax. Thus, it is wrong to assume that oral sex can't lead to an orgasm. That's why I love oral sex, because it does guarantee me an orgasm. Even though I do have enjoyed vaginal stimulation and having an orgasm through the vagina, however, I really love oral sex. The mouth, think about it. The lips have over 10,000 nerve endings. Something that's soft caressing your vagina. And with the tongue, the lips, and the mouth. And the fingers. How do you lose? But anyway, what floats your boat? You want to, again, practice safe sex. This is a great, great article that I found on my Google Alerts. Thank you, Google. Shout out. And also Yahoo News, and the article was entitled Health Bites, hashtag Health Bites, 5 Common Myths About Oral Sex Busted. And it's a great article, and the person name again is Sagar Malik, S-A-G-A-R-M-A-L-I-K, which I'll definitely have them link to my podcast posting, so hopefully they'll get a chance to hear my shout out of them about the great article that they wrote. So now we're going to get into my amazing interview with the one and only Gigi Engel.
Okay, so we will start. Okay, so hello, Tatiana here, aka your tap out queen. Kudos to my peace square community, those who are passionate about the pussy and passionate about the penis. Thank you for tuning into my podcast, Oralicious, A Tale of Sex. So today's episode, like I announced, is called Shame-Free Sex is Overdue. Okay, and I have an amazing surprise for you guys today. Gigi Engel, and she is phenomenal. And I'll definitely go into detail about her bio. But Gigi, she's a feminist writer, certified sex coach, and sex educator. And like kick-ass, badass, like amazing writer for like top-notch magazines, Bride, Elle Magazine, and of course, Marie Claire. And then she also has a weekly newsletter that you guys can tap into. And what I love about her, even though she's not New York, she did go to Fordham, however, my alma mater, but she's like a certified New Yorker. And I'm going to share a quote from her, well, I think it's her. So it says, manifest the motherfucking shit out of your dreams, baby. Gigi, was that you?
That sounds like me, yes.
Okay. Okay. So I have goosebumps right now. So guess what, girl? You are such a New Yorker. New Yorkers talk like that, okay?
I mean, when I lived in New York, I mean, I lived there for almost 10 years. And really? I think that I did. I lived there all through college, and then after until about a year and a half or 2 years ago, I moved back to Chicago, where I'm originally from. And so I definitely think that, I think New York really had left its mark on me, and I was much more New York before, but now I'm sort of getting back to my Midwest roots. My siblings say I'm a lot nicer now.
You know, and what is so funny, you know, like most people come to me, they literally like, We're rude, we're obnoxious, and we're not. We just no nonsense, focus, driven, focus, we got to go, you know, we rush. But we're the nice.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of times. New Yorkers take care of their own, and I've really always appreciated that about New York. And, like, I think people confuse, like, a New Yorker, like,
drive
spirit, like, with being rude, because, like, people in other parts of the country are used to just a slower, more relaxed, like, way of being and kind of, like, aren't super incident. Which is why people are drawn to New York in the first place. It's kind of like a place where people gather to like get shit done. So it's you have to be appreciative of that frenzied energy to get high.
And
I really moved because I just couldn't handle like the standard of living with like the small apartments for like an astronomical amount of money, and I was like, I just can't anymore.
It's beyond out of control now. You know, I live in my apartment like over 30 years, and it's so I can't even begin to tell you, it's so off the chart. Well, you can't even live in Harlem. Brooklyn is done. Now the next best place is the South Bronx. Okay. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to Colorado. I love to ski and enjoy my mountain and my freaking cannabis. Not that I'm alluding to the fact that I smoke, but I'm ready to fucking go. It's like crazy.
I can't even blame my sister lives in Colorado. It's so amazing out there. And like for like $2,000 a month, you can rent like a 3-bedroom house. It's insane.
No, I'm telling you. I've been skiing out west, and I learned out east in Vermont and whatever, but I'm a prissy skier. Like, I hate crud. I like, you know, cruising through. But I do like black diamonds. So when I learned about Colorado, I'm like, and they're, girl, I love tranquility. I'm at a point in my life where I want fucking tranquility. I want peace. We all want love. If we can just get to that, this world would be better off.
I don't know.
What do you think?
I mean, I totally agree. I actually think everybody could take every person around the world, around the country, I should say, can take a page out of like a Coloradoan's book, because like every time I go there, everyone, my family lives out there, and friends who live out there, like they're always down to party, but they like get their shit done, and like everyone's really nice, and like people just don't really worry about
and it's tranquility.
I know.
This is what works in my ass. I'm retired. That is the course of Jesse Colorado. I love Vail. Have you ever been to Vail ever?
Yeah, actually, my family has, my cousins have a house in it's a little further than Vail. I can't remember exactly where, but yeah. So whenever I've visited, I've gone up there to check it out and go to Vail Town, and the weather is always amazing. So
I want my asses to be screwed over the China Bowl. And I know we need to focus, girl, so let me get going, okay? So anyway, that was an amazing quote. Manifest the motherfucking shit out of your dreams. You know, that is just so profound, you know, and how you... First of all, you're an amazing writer. You know, I call myself a writer, but I have yet to break out. You know, even the book that I wrote called Auralist is the truth about all sex, intimacy, and passion. And I can tell you that because of the culture we live into, they want to automatically put me in porn. And I know with the sex positive culture, Gigi, you can't say nothing bad about porn, but porn is still misogynistic, okay? I'm sorry.
Well, the porn that is created, I made a video that's about this, that's called, with Your Sexual PSA, which is a website that I founded with the Xander Institute. It's called Organic Porn, and it's all about how the mass industry of porn is just this, like, really misogynistic, male-focused, like, trash that, like, is focused on this, not even, like, really what men want, but, like, what these executives and, like focus groups think men want, and how it's created these just absurd, like poor quality, like shitty videos with like unrealistic, like body standards for women and unrealistic body standards for men, and like really questionable consent, which is written into the scripts. Cause like they make that up. Yeah. Like I was watching, I don't watch free porn anymore because of like, I had a really bad experience, and I was like, I was with an ex-boyfriend, and we were watching porn, and like in the video, like the girl was like having a threesome with two guys, and then the guy wanted to have anal sex, and she was like, no, I don't think so. And he was like, come on, you'll like it. It'll be something new. And then he just does her in the ass. And really? I was like, that is written into that script. Like, she didn't make that up. She's a porn actress.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, we're going to have to turn this off because, like, my lady boner is leg on.
Yeah. So when I was reading your article, Sex Ed Badass, you know, and how what I loved about the art, first of all, I was actually at this 2018 Sex Expo in Brooklyn, and you were there unbeknownst. I just believe in the universe and how everything comes full circle. And even as I say this, I'm getting goosebumps. And I'm like, oh my God, she was there? So, like, to me, you're like, you're humble, I know, but you're like,
I'll be there again in September, so I hope I'll see you there.
Oh, yes, definitely. Oh, you're getting totally shot out. And then inside the freaking magazine, you got a full body. Oh, my God, are you kidding me? I'm sorry. I, like,
it was
traveling.
Pretty,
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, thank you. I mean, it's like, I feel like it's really nice. It's really nice to have somebody be so excited about me. I feel like I never get used
so
to
humble.
People being,
that's
like.
So beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say I'm humble. I think I like writing for big publications and saying pussy constantly kind of means you have to have a thick skin and like think and feel highly about like your education level. But at the same time, I'm like,
right.
It's like always really surprising and really nice when people are like, oh my God, hi, it's so nice to meet you. And I'm just
like,
oh my God.
My whole body is full of goosebumps right now because like I said, I'm really tapped into the energy in the universe. And I think when I feel goosebumps, like the universe is confirming and then agreeing with what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking. Because what I love about your writing, sweetheart, is that we live in the 21st century where certain things are still taboo. When we know right now, it's a requirement. Even in my fellatio class that I teach now to couples, you have to know how to suck dick. It's a requirement. They don't want to see that, but it's a requirement now. So get good at it. But know your worth. Know that what you have between your legs part of wasn't brought down the White House. Dick never ruled. Sorry. That's for my grandmother, girl, when I was 2 years old.
I mean, I think that, like, oral sex for, like, men and women is so underrated and like
totally
it does have this like weird and like sadly still like has this weird shame around it where like people don't want to admit they do it or they don't want to admit they like it and like it's like pretty much everybody likes it. I mean not everybody but, like, mostly everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what seriously you'll be the first one to know when my brand pops because I'm going to shatter the glass ceiling about all sex. Because I even had to revamp my entire website because it was offending many people. So I'm like, you know what? And it was an aha moment. And I'm like, you know what? Just basically talk about the pleasure journey getting back to basic. How kissing is important. How are you fucking and not kissing? I'm confused. I don't like kissing. Okay, then what are you doing to inflate your sexual libido? A peck and firm lips?
Not really.
No. Uh-uh. Well, okay, no.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, I feel like people just don't know that, like, all these things are, like, interconnected. And, like,
hello.
It's just, like, you can't like have, that. If you have, and, I mean, I saw a really funny meme yesterday that, like, reminded me that I had this interview because it was like, really funny. It was like dating in your 30s and 40s is so different from your 20s. It's like, nice shirt, do you lick pussy? And I was like,
God, I love that. And I've talked to many people, you know, like Amy Baldwin from Sex, Shameless Sex. And, you know, and I love when I talk to women who are like feminists and it's like, I don't want to say it's a curse word. It's like, no, you're a woman. Embrace who you are. And she goes, we live in a patriarchal society where religion still plays a major role in this. I'm like, okay, when both stupid parties, Republicans, Democrats, assholes, stop asking to have their dick sucked. I will burn every book and shut down my podcast. Well, Gigi, I don't think it's going to happen no time soon. Do you, girl?
Definitely not anytime soon, but that does not mean we have to keep on keeping on, keep doing what we do.
Thank you. So thank you, Rock Out, because you definitely hold your torch, and I bow down to you. Okay, thank you. So let me restart.
I appreciate it. Queens have to come to other queens up.
Say it again.
Queens have to pump each other up.
Oh, no, so true. No, so true. I'm so excited about this. So let me just jump into your bio, because I took you all over the place. So, again, sorry. So Gigi Engel is a feminist writer, certified sex coach, and sex educator. And I got most of the write-up from your website, you know, because at least I know it's, you know, solid and it's not, like, you know, spooned together. Some good shit here.
Oh, yeah. As no, I appreciate that. That's the best place to get information about me is the stuff I wrote myself.
Thank you. And also what I do on my website, I, like, put a link to my website to show, like, the link to the podcast and any articles, you know, because I'm definitely going to talk about your this is what one of my favorite articles that you did about the V, I think it was the V-Day edition. Yeah, I talked about that, but let me just finish your bio. As a sex educator with the Alexander Institute and Pleasure Professionals with O School, she teaches a variety of classes centered around pleasure, sexual health, and confidence. And women need confidence nowadays. Like, girls, know your power, know your worth, okay? Gigi's work regularly appears in many publications, including Bride, Marie Claire, Elle Magazine, Teen Vogue, Glamour, and Woman's Health. Gigi formerly was the sex and dating writer for Thrillist Media Group and the senior sex and lifestyle writer for Elite Daily, acquired by Daily. Gigi's articles have been shared over. Are you guys ready for this, my P-Square community? 20 million times, or probably more than that by now. And her top posting reached over 100 million shares. So kudos and shout out and congratulations, Gigi, because you are doing awesome about keeping positive cultures totally abreast of what the hell is going on.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I feel like I've always been a very outspoken person about sexuality. And then when I started my career in writing on the internet, I realized, like, a lot of people, like, were not as outspoken as me publicly. And I was like, I kind of found a niche here.
You did?
Now it's like, I don't give a shit what people think about me.
And, you know,
here we go.
And like you said, because you saw something. And sometimes you've got to take that leap of faith and go against the grain. Because when you don't go against the grain, you lose out on maybe being the next Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Did you see her documentary?
I haven't seen it, but my sister said it made her cry, so it's on my list.
Me too. Because
I'm stoked about it.
Loved her to death, and she was a badass. And she said, "We fools take their feet off our necks, and we can breathe." I love that. Like,
one of the things that, like, one of the things I preach a lot with, like teaching in classes, that kind of. It's like. Like, demanding a partner who's actually worthy of you. And, like, I keep saying it's, like, absurd. Like, there's these pervasive ideas of, like, a woman being, like, less successful than her boyfriend or less successful than her partner. And, like, being a, you know, a homemaker goddess, which there's nothing wrong with, like, being, like, cooking and cleaning and stuff. Like, I personally do that stuff because I like it. But, like, it's this whole caretaker thing. Like, being okay with, not having somebody who's, like, as supportive of your career as you deserve to have them be. Like, my last relationship was, like, a long-term relationship, and it ended because, like, my partner, like, couldn't handle the fact that I was more successful than he was. That's, like, really, like, the root of it was.
But in all sense, sweetheart, and this is no or sounding condescending, he was weak. And I say this to you because I'm thinking, but no, listen, I'm a strong Scorpio. I have another brand, and it's like love doesn't come with conditions, and love doesn't make you lose who you are. And one thing I can definitely tell you is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg's husband and former President Barack Obama, Michelle, was a badass. Her book, Becoming Girl, I'm telling you. The type of woman she is, she had to have a strong man who was not intimidated by her greatness. You're the same way. You can't date weak men. Absolutely not.
No, I can definitely learn.
I'm just
thinking
that
in
New York.
Yeah.
Ain't happening.
I appreciate it. I mean, I've definitely learned that. And, like, it's been really great for my career and for the classes and stuff that I teach because, like, getting that kind of life experience really shows you that, like, because I kind of thought I was living in this kind of, I think a lot of women sometimes in big cities are living in this little bubble where they don't think that, like, these gender roles exist in the same way as they do, but, like, they totally do. And it's, like, acknowledging that and being like, I'm not willing to put up with that bullshit, but, like, I recognize that it exists really helps you near the kind of qualities you want in a partner and
exactly
what you are and are not willing to accept it.
And what is so crazy, when I talk to my instructor girlfriends, I'm like, Michelle Obama knows her place, but trust me, he was scared of her. I got attacked. I'm like, you're missing the whole point, you idiot. She's a badass, okay? She took one for the team. But she knew her place, but he knew not to trample over her either. She probably would have fucked him up, but I know she didn't do that. I'm just saying. That's New York talking.
I mean, yeah.
But no.
That's definitely, it's like a really good marriage of equals, which I think is a really good example
exactly.
for young women.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And one more quick thing. So, Gigi Engle writes a weekly advice column, which you guys, I'm talking to my Peace Square community, must subscribe to because it's amazing. And she's one of the original members of the Women of Sex Tech. I'm a member, by the way. So thank you, girl.
Oh,
see you with that too. That is so.
Yeah,
cool.
I love that group. I was there from the very beginning, and it was such a good. It's such a good group of girls.
Isn't it,
and ladies?
Oh,
women.
Yes, it is. They just had a happy hour, and it's just I love the energy. And I always come like free cocktails just in case, and they love it. Like I'm like, listen, no. It's about like inspiring and empowering each other because we know how bad we are. You know what I'm saying? In a positive way. And I'm always volunteering. You have no idea. Like you ever need me to speak at any event, don't worry about cost. I'm there because I just believe in like pulling up. You know, we're doing this journey together. You know. Yeah, I just truly believe that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's such a good group, and I always, every time I see those things about the happy hours, I'm like, oh.
You could always crash at my apartment. But I wanted to commend you because you and Marilyn Monroe have something in common. You once said that, yes, and I'm going to share it with you. So there's a beautiful quote by Marilyn Monroe, and I actually have it on the cover of my book. It says that we are all born sexual creatures, thank God, but it's a pity so many people despise and crush this natural gift. And you mentioned that in your Sex Ed Badass article, pretty much the same thing, that, you know, we have a core that we're born with, the sexual nature, and yet we ignore it.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I think that's something that's really missing from our culture in general. It's like when you have a child, it's like looking at your child and recognizing that this child is a sexual being, that like this is a person, like they're a whole person and sexuality is a part of a whole being and your whole wellness. And like we have this very bizarre capacity due to like puritanical views and overarching religiosity that like sexuality is this like dangerous, like bad thing when it's really just as important to your wellness as eating or sleeping. It's like,
exactly.
It's like part of you and recognize, and it's like we end up damaging children by pretending that sexuality doesn't exist and shaming them and telling them that like the wrong names for their body parts and like shaming them when they masturbate or telling them that's not a good thing to do. It's like you're already setting up these negative ideas about their personhood and their sexuality in their own minds. And like, that's fucked up.
You know, and it's so interesting you say that because when I teach my classes, I always tell people, everything on your body matters. If you were not supposed to have orgasms, then you wouldn't have them. And it's the reason why you have five senses. Not just to smell, taste, touch, and feel. No, you have to know the core of how it affects your body. And I'm like, when you look at a body and look at it to see is our artistry in it, you will learn to love it differently. When you look at a dick like a dick, it's a dick. You look at a vagina like a vagina, it's a vagina. When you look at an artistry like you're painting a beautiful Picasso, you're going to love on it differently. Like tap into your five senses. And I'm like, and like you mentioned in your quote, we are all sexual beings at the core. Like, get past the misogynist bullshit or the patriarchal craziness. We want to have orgasms too. But when we do it together, it's explosive. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, really the, like, when it comes to female sexuality especially, it's like the patriarchy, capital P patriarchy, is like terrified of a woman who is sexually liberated, because the thing that controls women and the thing that holds us down and the way that the patriarchy controls women and gets them to stay inside of these little boxes, stay within their gender roles and behave in a certain manner that they deem acceptable, is by controlling your sexuality, which is how slut shaming became a thing, which is how men's sexuality became seen as this like ferocious like animal appetite, and a woman is more than you are. It's like, it's this whole, the whole point is to control women, because a sexually liberated woman is fucking terrifying.
Right. Absolutely. Oh my God. Maybe I should call the podcast fucking terrifying, because you are absolutely right. No. And you just hit on something so profound, because when you think about it, why was it ever, and I'm not berating porn, but just like you said, when I first started learning about, you know, orgasms, I was 16 years old in a young adult section, and I'm reading about it, and when my husband asked me to suck his dick the first time when I was 18, I ran out the room crying, like, oh my God, you love and respect me. How dare you ask me to do that? So I'm like, you don't, someone else will. So I learned to suck his dick very good. So now they call me Tap Out Queen, tapping your ass out. I enjoy watching women on women. Why? And I, trust me, I'm not bisexual or, you know, but I'm just saying it's sensual. I love to see another woman love on the body like it's supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Instead of banging me like a fucking, what do you call that? When you're like, just like a jingling floor in the ground. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you banging on a box like that? No.
I mean, that's free porn. I mean, there is really good porn out there, but like it is behind a paywall, which can be stressful for people.
Right.
But it is like, I wouldn't say all girl on girl porn is like better than straight porn necessarily, but I can see your point in that if you are looking at free stuff, it's just like, it does generally seem like women who are in girl on girl porn seem to like actually be enjoying themselves much more often.
And they have an orgasm. You see more orgasms with girl on girl. I honestly, it may be because I'm maybe watching the wrong porn, Gigi. I rarely see women who are fucking men or giving great blowjobs and getting fucked ever having an orgasm. I've never seen it. I'm being honest with you.
Not anything you're gonna find on like RedTube or like YouPorn or any of that. Like, not really. I mean, they'll fake them, but it's like.
Right.
And it also gives you when female porn actors, like fake orgasms, it ends up just reinforcing these completely wrong ideas about how women have orgasms. Like, they're not just gonna like have an orgasm from getting pounded by a dick. Like, that's pretty, probably 10% of the female population who has orgasms that way. So like, it just reinforces, and it's not great for men either, because men who, let's say, have psychological erectile dysfunction, have trouble maintaining erections, have trouble getting hard for intercourse, or feel performance anxiety when they're with their partner, are going to feel like they feel broken. They feel like they're not good lovers. They don't know how to please their partner because they're like, my dick doesn't work. I give up. And that causes huge strain between partners, because it's not like you know how to have those conversations with each other, you know?
Wow.
But if we were talking more about oral sex and we were talking about the ways that women actually have orgasms, we would find that like the external clitoris is the thing that's the most important part, and actually penises don't really have much to do with it.
Too bad.
I mean, it's fun. who doesn't like a good D, but like,
yeah, but if you stimulate my
it's not the thing that gives you the orgasm. It can help.
Right.
You're having internal and external stimulation.
Right, exact direct stimulation. You're absolutely right. When I've had internal orgasms, the first time I had one, someone walked me through it. You know, because my mom was all over the place. But when he also was doing direct stimulation with his hand and the penis, and I'm focused, but like you said, or I'm on top, I'm writing, and I'm stimulating it.
Yeah.
I will have one, but just like you said, it's an indirect stimulation to the clitoris, which is our
right. And I think it's just, yeah, it's like teaching, you know, women about the full internal structure of the clitoris and how it's the same size as a penis. It's just inside of the body and like where that is. And like the thing that people don't know, they're like, well, why does having vaginal sex feel good? But like everyone's always talking about the clitoris. And that's because we don't know about our own anatomy, which is that the
right.
vaginal canal actually has very few touch-sensitive nerves. You could actually, doctors have said this, I personally wouldn't want to do this. You could actually have like a localized surgery inside of the vagina and you probably wouldn't feel anything.
Really?
Because of, like, not, I mean, I wouldn't do that. And no one, I don't think anyone would try that, but like, because there are so few touch-sensitive nerves, what the vagina actually has is a lot of pressure-sensitive nerves. So, like, the pounding sensation or, like, having something inserted inside the vagina and, like, the pressure of that is what feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And it also pulls down on, like, the whole internal clitoral complex. And, like, if we knew this kind of stuff about our bodies, we would be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then people wouldn't feel so much shame around it.
Exactly. And this is why I'm so grateful that I even, like, changed my whole meaning on my, you know, regarding my brand, you know, and also my website, you know, because if you have just all sex of fear, you're segregating yourself and you're putting yourself in a certain box and you're still dealing with assholes who basically want it, but we don't want it out there for our kids to see. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm a strategist, in a sense that the pleasure journey, getting back to basic. You know, what are you doing to build up your pleasure journey? You know, focus on the aspects of all the great things that affect your body. Like even a nerve bending, everything on your body can say really plays a major role. You know, touching, foreplay, how are you fucking, and there's no foreplay. Huh?
Yeah. Huh? I'm hoping that will revolutionize the way the way language even works and, like, we'll stop calling it foreplay and like, just start having all sex acts be on the same level. Because, like, the whole hierarchy of sexuality and how, like, it's, like, intercourse is the best, and then it's, like, oral sex, and then it's, like, hand sex, and then it's, like, whatever else. And you're like, I'm pretty sure everybody likes different things, and we're forgetting the fact that women don't really have orgasms just with penises in their vaginas all the time.
Right. So that's very interesting that you said that, like foreplay. What would be the ideal word for now? Because today's culture is so, they're with it. They get it. It's the generation
for now,
behind
them
that's like, still playing games.
I like to just call it like, I mean, I still call it foreplay because people don't, because like colloquially people don't really know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Some
like even
fellatio,
like what the fuck
what,
is that?
Yeah, and I don't use that word, but like a lot of that's like a personal preference. I kind of think it's kind of like
I hear you.
But yeah, it's like everybody has their words. Like a lot of people don't like to use the see you next Tuesday word, but I use that pretty freely, so like everybody has their thing. But
right,
I mean, I call it just like sex act, or I'll be like
okay.
Sexual play.
Okay.
I'll be like intercourse or other kinds of sexual play, something like that. Or I call it more play, like kind of trying to like introduce other words that don't, because like the reason like a lot of sex experts are kind of moving away from the word foreplay is because it sets you up for that same hierarchy by calling it foreplay. It's like it's being like, this is the thing that you can't, that you can or can't do if you want before the main event, which is intercourse.
Right.
So it's sort of like the whole premise is that you're setting,
I see.
You're setting yourself up for the main event, the big show.
Got it. So
and it's like, why is that the big show? Yeah, it's like, why is that the big show? Although it leaves out, couples of the same sex. It leaves out couples who have like multiple partners, and it's sort of like it leaves out women entirely, because like when you're saying intercourse is the big show, you're like your orgasm's not as important as a man's.
Exactly. And I really appreciate you being very candid and open about this, because since my book launched in 2016, you know, you have no idea. Like, I cannot wait to go back to reprint, because I do have chapter 2 with foreplay. So we're changing.
No, trust me. I know. This language is constantly, the way people talk about it is constantly changing. Like, I have a book coming out in January, but like I wrote it, it was like turned in like a year ago, and there's so much stuff in it that I'm like, oh, I want to rethink that. Oh, I want to, like, rewrite that part. And, like, that's how it is with sexual language. And I think that's one of the things, like, sex experts can really do for each other and for themselves. It's, like, not attacking each other or other people for, like, using certain words or saying certain things. Yeah, just being, like, I recognize that this is, like, the thing that people say, but, like, what about this? Or, like, have you thought about it this way? Or, like, have you heard of this term? Like, what do you think about that? And instead of, like, demonizing each other, because that's how the fucking patriarchy gets us.
This is why it's so important to have conversations, you know, because I sent out my book to a few people, you know, and sex experts, you know, and some sent it back, some did a book review. And one, she came back, like, attacking me because I wrote it from a heterosexual point of view. Well, that's what the fuck I am. Sorry.
Well, like, really? I mean, it's like that's the thing. It's like,
think of it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's definitely merit in being like, oh, you should use more inclusive language. Like, or I would suggest you should use more inclusive language. And that's fine. But being like, oh, this is so, like, I think it's just not productive to be like, oh, my God, you're the enemy. This is so heterosexual. It's just like, it's like there's a place to come to these conversations, like, with understanding and, like, knowledge instead of, like, demonizing people and making them feel, like, bad about
exactly. Especially
like,
if you're all, a sex therapist, right. A sex educator,
yeah,
you should know better.
At the end of the day, we have this, yeah, it's like, at the end of the day, we have the same goal, which is just to make sexuality more accessible, to make people feel more comfortable about themselves. And, like, yeah, that does include more inclusive language, but it's like your audience is a heterosexual audience. And as long as you know that and you're recognizing that, but you're like, I don't have any problem with other, like, lifestyles and other people's, like, sexual preferences. It's just like, that's who I write for. Those are my clients.
Exactly. I mean, so, you don't go to NYU and not know gayness. You know, I'm saying this to you, but it's like, come on. New York City is the largest melting pot of everything and everyone. And we all respect everything and everyone. But don't force me into your lane because you feel that it's I'm supposed to be. I'm heterosexual. I write about being straight sex. I don't know what else is there. Sorry. Then don't read the goddamn book, okay? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's
not
like,
to get defensive.
I can totally understand. I can understand both sides of the discussion. I just think it's just not. Yeah, it's just like it's just not like generally, in my opinion, I just don't think we get anywhere by like attacking each other. It's like doesn't
because no, there's sweetie.
I think people are pretty good about it, but there definitely is some like inherent. Like, weird need to be, like,
accepting.
I don't know, like, morally, yeah, I was like, not accepting per se, but, like, sort of, like, morally superior and letting everybody know that you're morally superior to other people. It's like, they're, like, it's a weird, I'm the most accepting and I have the best morally, like, I have the most inclusive language. Like, look at me. And it's like, I'm all about inclusive language, but it's like it's not a competition.
Right. And this is why I find more shocking than anything. It's a colleague of yours whose voice and platform and torch is about sex positive community. Then how do you attack someone who's writing a book who's straight? Like, are you fucking kidding me? You cannot come at me. I'm a crazy New Yorker. I'm very positive, but I'm about accountability. Like, are you fucking kidding me? You can't do that. That's not cool. Yeah, so I'll have to
there are just more productive ways to have, like, conversations about language.
I agree,
being like,
sweetie.
Oh, my God, this is just wrong, and, like, why are you doing that? Like, I mean, I've had plenty of people attack me, not exactly attacked, but sort of, like, be concerned, and I've also had people attack me. For not being inclusive enough or being too inclusive. Like, I mean, it's like,
but that's what I love about your writing,
like,
because you are.
Yeah. I mean, I know who my audience is. Like, when I'm writing for, like Brides Magazine, I recognize that like most of my readers and most of my clients, who are reading that stuff are for the most part, like heterosexual couples. I include language with, like, for other couples, other types of, like, couples, but I, like, for, like, same-sex female couples, but like these are, this is a female audience. I mean, it's Bride's Magazine.
Right.
So mm-hmm. it's like, so I don't necessarily, I mean, I might call partners they, but I would call, I would be like, yeah, girl, or like, you tell them, like, lady or whatever it is.
Right.
Whatever the language I decided to use. Because like,
no, I
hear
like,
you, it's sweetie. A female, it's Bride's Magazine, it's a female audience. Like, that's who's reading it. So, but then like in other publications, I'm more inclusive. But like, I mean, I was writing an article for Men's Health, and mm-hmm. I put out like a call for responses. It wasn't really attacking much as I was just like, oh wow, like even for men's publications, people don't want you to use these terms. It's like I said, like men, like can you send me stories about when you like had a perineum orgasm for an article? And then someone okay. was like, do you mean just men or just or people who have prostate? And I was like,
huh?
I mean, I guess I was like both, but like, okay. I was like, both, I guess. But I was like, oh yeah, I guess you really. And like every time I write something, I mean, I think a lot of sex educators feel this way. It's like, and a lot of people who write about gender in general
mm-hmm.
will write
mm-hmm.
about stuff and be like, fuck, I hope I don't fucking offend anybody.
No, I know. Like I honestly feel like my book is now offensive.
Yeah, it's like really, it's kind of being willing to know that like the language is changing.
Right.
And like having a clear introduction to the book where it's like, listen, I know this isn't going to be applicable to everybody, but like this is what it is. And this is where, these are the people I work with, and this is the audience I'm addressing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and if this is not for you, you don't have to read it.
That's a nice disclosure. Exactly. That's a nice disclosure. I like that.
Yeah, well, that's be like, I am not, to be like, this is a book that's aimed at heterosexual couples. I recognize and I'm totally about everybody else. And if you are a person with a penis or have a partner with a penis, you can probably benefit from some of these tips. But that's who this is for.
I love it.
So I hope my P square, those who are passionate about the penis and passionate about the pussy, or passionate about the pussy, passionate about the penis, truly enjoyed Zizi Engel today. And before we wrap up, I definitely want to ask one quick question, because I know you fought for shame-free, sex-positive education. And how do you feel with your writing expertise and your subject matter expert? Do you feel that you've tapped hard into that genre, or with your various outlets that you do have? And again, congratulations, girl. Very proud of you. Do you feel that we are close or we're still far? We have more to go. What's your take on it?
I mean, we've definitely made strides. We're very, very far from where we need to be going as far as pleasure-based sexuality goes. Like right now, only 13 states require scientifically accurate information be taught in a sex ed class. There are like many states where the main focus of sex education is abstinence. I still get letters pretty much 2 to 3 times a day from women and men alike who feel shamed about their sexuality, who are embarrassed about masturbating, who want to try new sexual things and don't think they can talk about it. Like, we're nowhere near where we need to be, but we really need to move to a place where, like, the word clitoris is talked about in sex ed classes, like, masturbation is talked about as a healthy form of self-love, and, like, talk about mm-hmm. sexuality and acknowledge that it exists from the time you were born until the time you die.
Exactly. That's amazing. And do you have any advice for my P-Square listeners that you want to share? Well, first of all, you have such an amazing, beautiful spirit. So thank your parents, even though you are a badass with a beautiful New York spirit. But I'm definitely
let them know.
Being from Chicago.
I mean, as far as advice goes, it's just like, learn about your body. Like, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed to ask for what you want. And if you're with somebody who is not willing to have those conversations with you and won't even talk about it, that's probably not somebody you want to fuck.
Amen. I love that. That's awesome. I just said amen. I'm sorry. But no, that's cool.
It's your podcast.
Like, thank you.
But you see, like, we're like, amen. Oh, my God, I don't want to offend anyone. That's how it is.
Isn't that crazy? Man,
there's such a gray area now. It's like, what is going to, something is always going to offend people, like, always. I've kind of realized that. It's like, it's like you do your best as a sex educator and as a human. You just do your best and just be willing to just take the hits as they come.
And we're going to sign off and leave that because that was so profound. And one thing I can definitely tell you, on July 31st, I wrote the Oral Sex Bill of Rights. And it was indoctrinated on July 31st. And, you know, I sent it out to a few sex educators. And some got offended because I mentioned porn in a bad way. I'm like, I did not. But I don't want them to think that oral sex is like porn from a patriarchal mindset. And I'm like, fuck that. It's my oral sex bill of rights, and we as the people who believe in oral sex should have fucking rights. I'm sorry. So you're getting your
very copy. True. Oh, yeah. I'm excited to read it. I'd be happy to give you some feedback on it.
Because again, before I go to hardcore print, but no, yeah. It'll be part of your little gift.
Because, I mean, I'm sure it'll be, like, it could be very accessible to, like, pretty much everybody if, like, a couple of words are changed, pretty much. It's really not difficult, but it's also, like, so difficult.
Oh, no, I agree. No, I agree. So listen, girl, I'm proud of you. And not because, you know, you took the time to speak with me, so I'm humbly grateful for that, because you're standing on the shoulders of so many, and you're setting by example. You're leading by example with your spirit of excellence, you know, and you're up against the world, and you're not backing down. And that's like, listen, Michelle Obama thinks you're a badass, too. I'm just saying. And every state of Pittsburgh, okay?
I think every amazing feminist and sex positive woman has like made me who I am today, but I am definitely happy to help carry the burden.
Thank you so much. You have been a joy. And thanks for finally taking time and being so ever so patient. Because this is
recorded,
I'm not going to get your address over the phone. So I'll just like text you whatever, or you can email it to
me. Yeah, sure. I'll just email you.
But that's fine. Again, thank your pants. Give them a big hug for me for just making you, like, awesome. I have goosebumps the entire conversation with us.
I'm glad I could provide. Thanks so much for including me, and send me the link when the episode's up.
I will do. And listen, have a great weekend, and be safe out there, girl.
Thanks. You too.
So I hope you truly enjoyed, as I enjoyed, having Gigi Engle on my podcast for my P-Square listeners, those who are passionate about the penis, passionate about the pussy. Again, thank you for staying to the end. I hope my earlier technical difficulties, you surpassed that, you made it to the end. So remember, Gigi Engle, she is a feminist writer, certified sex coach, and sex educator. And there's a beautiful quote in Sexual Health Magazine, issue September 2018, and she writes, "Feminism has always been very deeply rooted in my work, and the main goal has always been to destigmatize female sexuality and queer sexuality as a queer woman. Feminism lives on because we have people like Gigi Engle standing in the gap for us as feminists, and I'm a proud feminist." Yes. Anywho, so again, thank you for staying and listening to my podcast, Oral is Just a Tale of Sex. This episode is Shame-Free Sex Overdue. Don't forget to subscribe to my podcast. Please leave your candid reviews. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Oralicious. Also, I am available for speaking engagements when I do run workshops. I also come with my free tasting oral elixir. Any questions you want to ask, please hit me up on my email at asktatti, asktatti, @gmail.com. So again, be true to thyself. Know that your body is something beautiful. And when you look at your partner's body and he or she looks at your body, I hope they see the same thing, something beautiful. And the tools we have on our bodies are natural. And it's our five senses, sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell, that you can use to heighten your sexual pleasure journey.
And just like Gigi Engle and Marilyn Monroe, we are all sexual creatures and we all have that core thing within us that we can't run from because it's part of us. It's part of who we are. You know, and if we were not supposed to have orgasms, our bodies would not have them. But because our bodies are designed to have orgasms, guess what? We're supposed to. So remember, use your mouth, which have over 10,000 nerve endings. If you don't use it for kissing or amazing oral sex, use it to make love to the body. Find those erogenous zones. That's what they're there for. Okay, so stay tuned for my next episode. I have another surprise, authentic badass. Her name is Lucy Rouette, and she is 20-something, tea-loving woman who helps people create the love, intimacy, and passion that you really want in your relationship. She is known as a sex geek and proudly sex positive coach. She is from Brighton, London, I think it is, in the UK. And she is the, which is apparently, Brighton is the most sex positive city in the UK. And she is a clinical sexologist and sex and relationship coach. So she is my next guest. So stay tuned for that. Hopefully I'll have it within a few weeks, not too long, but it is because I gotta work it right, you know. It was a great conversation. I really enjoyed speaking with Lucy. And this is a quote: if you are ready to embrace pleasure and transform your relationship, book a free call with Lucy Rouette. And she said, "Let's get started," because she is so ready. Thank you, guys. Peace.